Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
We're excited to be in the house of the Lord. This is the right place for you to be this morning. If you're not where you're supposed to be, you're where you're not supposed to be. And if you're where you're not supposed to be, you are not where you're supposed to be, if you can get all that. This morning we have a wonderful message. No matter what happens, I win. God is with me. But a couple more announcements. On October 9th, we've begun to have our regular ladies' meetings now. So we're going to be meeting at Potbelly's at noon, right across from where we met last week at Portillo's. And because Erica works at Potbelly's, so there you have it. So we're going to meet there. And also, the ladies have set their Christmas party, and we've already booked Mama Luigi's for December 9th. So, you know, We're very excited about things happening. A couple of things. One thing that I really hit my heart today was I heard a pastor that I love in Logan, New Mexico, say this morning something that really had impact on my life. He said this morning regarding communion, this is a self-serve meal. And I like that so much, that nobody forces you to take this. You have to come to the table to receive this. And this is God's banqueting table. This is where all provision is made. And I thought that was just the most powerful comment. This is a self-serve meal this morning. So we're going to invite everyone. I've been studying on miracles before we begin this message and really been encouraged in the just something God put on my heart late last night. Watch your words. Your words have power over you. And if we're going to believe in miracles, and every one of us needs some kind of miracle, am I right? I know that I'm right. And so, you know what? That's not going to happen when we speak against it, when we speak negative. And this is not necessarily this video you're about to see. This man is not going to start jumping pews, and he's not going to start speaking in tongues. But you're going to get a lesson from what you're about to see in this video of what happened in his life. So, Gio, if you would play that video for us, we're gonna see, hear what he has to say. Because it's very, very important.
He drank. Ed lost control of the wheel of that car, and he crashed into a mound of sand, sending that car hurling into the air before tumbling back to earth. One of the first times that I came to, that's when one of my doctors said this. He said, Scott, in case you don't recall, you're in a bad car accident. You've broken your neck and have a very serious spinal cord injury that has left you paralyzed from your chest down. Diagnosed quadriplegic. It wasn't long thereafter I was being told I'd be confined to this chair for the rest of my life. 30 days into this experience, laying there, I started getting some movement back in both of my wrists. In the back of my mind, I started thinking to myself that no matter how difficult life would be going forward, that everything would be okay. When I first started pushing a wheelchair, that's when one of my doctors, though, pulled me over. And he goes, Scott, look, we know you're getting some movement back in your arms. Not uncommon, but I think now more than ever, you need to understand the seriousness of your spinal cord injury and come to realize that the movement that you're getting back in your arms is as good as it's gonna get. I don't know if that is exactly what he said, but what I heard was, you might as well go ahead right now and give up hope. Give up hope on the idea you ever come out of this chair. But the problem was, I bought into his words. My vision darkened. To make matters a little more difficult for my parents, they were 2,000 miles away and I literally stopped taking their phone calls. 4 days later, Dad got me on the phone, and he demanded to know what was wrong. So I made an executive decision to tell him. And all he said was this: I was out there 2 weeks ago for your birthday. Your attitude was off the charts. Remember how I reached down, put my arms under your arms, and hoisted you into the upright position? Do you recall what that felt like? Of course I do. Will you do me a favor? Will you go back and recapture that mindset and re-own it again? In the meantime, don't be upset with me. I'm going to have words with that doctor. And then come the next morning, when I woke up, I could not believe my eyes. Standing at that doorway, looking back at me, was my dad, letting me know in a sense everything would be okay. And if I learned anything from Dad, that no matter how difficult life is for you, in that moment, you can always change your way of thinking. And that's when I made the profound decision that I was willing to fail, but I was unwilling to quit, while knowing that nothing worth achieving ever comes too easy. But to succeed, that takes grit. But what is grit? Grit, my friends, is your passion to persevere. Grit is what keeps you off the sidelines and back in the game of life. Well, there's something I learned in my life so many years ago, and I know it to be the truth. Don't ever let someone else's beliefs paralyze you from achieving those things you believe in your mind that you just might be able to achieve. If you are looking to thrive, to beat the odds, and achieve extraordinary results in your own lives, don't give up too soon.
I love it. And one of the reasons I love it is because to this very date, his diagnosis remains. His injury on the screen, on the doctor's reports, it remains exactly the same. He has overcome what the doctors have say they have proof of. And this came to me. While the doctor's report is still bad, guess whose report is still good? God's report is still good. So if you're believing for a miracle like most of us today, just keep your words right, keep your thinking straight, and you can obtain that miracle. You know, God is so good. Do you want to?
No.
Okay. Okay, that was for free. That's for free. You know, no extra charge at all, you know. Continue to pray for me because, you know, I'm becoming a police chaplain, and you know that that's coming up very soon. And we're actually going to have Officer Ray Tracy is going to be here on a Sunday morning to share with you all about our community here and getting involved in the community. And we also have another pastor in a few weeks that's going to come here, and that's going to be a great surprise. And you're going to know him. So no matter what happens, I win because God is with me. Now, I've heard a rumor. Just a rumor I heard that life on earth can be hard and that maybe your life is hard at times. And, you know, sometimes I said, Ken, in my heart, as I was preparing this, I started thinking, my life in particular, let's just say me, maybe this is not you, my life has been like a roller coaster. It has. I know Pastor Ken, his life, he's on the same roller coaster, evidently, that I'm on. Because when it goes up for me, it seems to go up for him. And when it goes down for him, it seems to go down for me. And I want to tell you something about when I was a child. I liked getting on the roller coaster. I was a roller coaster girl and a roller skater girl. But I've long given up roller coasters and roller skating for the most obvious of reasons. But here's the thing about a roller coaster. For me, it was terrifying. And I want to share about a life lesson, though, about being on a roller coaster, and it's actually scriptural. And I wanted something to say to you this morning about your life. If you feel your life has ups and life has downs, the ride doesn't last long. That's the thing about it. It may be terrifying, right, at times. Maybe you're just going through something that's absolutely horrible. It's terrifying. I just encourage you to strap yourself in, make sure your seatbelt's tight, and hold on to those around you. Something I used to do on a roller coaster ride, if Ken or whoever was with me, as I was on the ride, I was screaming, get me off, get me off, get me off, which is something that I have done with the Lord, even recently. Get me off, get me off, get me off. And you don't get off until it's time to get off, right? You're on the roller coaster stuck until it's time to get off. But what I used to do is grab hold of the person on the roller coaster with me. Help! Ken, help! But wait a minute. He was on the same roller coaster ride I was on, and he wasn't any help. And so I would say, God help! God help! And you know what? He helps. Life is like a vapor. It's not going to last forever. And here's the thing. You're actually going to enjoy some of it, too. Some of it's going to be pretty terrifying, but some of it you're actually going to enjoy. So scream if you have to. You know, yell hallelujah if you have to. But we're soon going home, and so I can deal with that. You know, people debate all the time. I was laughing about this the other night, too, writing notes, and I was laughing. Ken, I was saying, people always debate, are we living in the last days? Are we really living in the last days, Pastor Ken? Do you really think we're living in the last days? Well, here's some hot news. I don't know if the Lord's going to come, but I know you are like probably 40, 50. You are living in the last days. However you want to play that out, whether you believe the rapture's coming to get you, but you, my friend, and I am living in the last days. And Satan knows something that we don't know, and we've said this before, because I don't see many 150-year-old humans walking around, do you? When's the last time you met a 150-year-old guy? You haven't, have you? Well, that means life is short and we're in the last days. But the enemy knows that his time is limited, and he's very proactive, and he's very on the offensive. And here we are. We need to double down and get serious about the things of God and share the cross with people. And, you know, something I always thought about is the enemy's defeated. He's defeated, but he acts like he's victorious, right? Like, I'm going to get you. I'm victorious. And we, on the other hand, we're victorious, but we act like we're defeated. What is wrong with this picture? We are victorious, so we need to act victorious and not defeated. He is defeated, so we need to remind him, you're defeated, you're defeated, you're defeated. And double down on our efforts, because I truly believe, and this is, if you're in a fire, God has never put anyone in a fire without a plan of escape. If you're in a fire, there's a plan of escape. And I just want to tell you that I believe more and more in miracles. I believe that God will do what he says he will do. So find the promises in God's word and trust that he will do it for you. Some people believe that God will do what he does for Frida. I believe that God will do that, Frida. Tony, I believe that God will do that. John, I believe God will do that. But you've got to believe that God will do that for you. That's the difference.
So we're talking about difficult problems and how to deal with them and dealing with it from a godly perspective. I mean, think of all the situations that the children of Israel got into. But Moses was like, well, God, what are you going to do now? You know, they went from miracle to miracle, opening the Red Sea, opening and walking through it. Moses didn't do that. God did that. So there's two ways to live life. One way is to say, is to live out of your five senses with God at a distance, out of sight, out of mind. And then you have to always be asking the question, what am I going to do? But if you walk with God and you're aware that you walk with God, you begin to ask, what are we going to do? Or even better, what is God going to do? I wonder how God's going to get us out of this situation, because you're going with God. He said he would never leave you or forsake you. But I want to say, as long as you'll allow him to be in the room with you. You know, sometimes we push away God, and then the shepherd's nowhere near us. And I've told this story before humorously. When I was a child, we went on vacation, a long, long drive. And in the middle of nowhere, the car broke down. Now, as adults, when you hear that, you're thinking that's a bad day, right? I mean, if any one of you was about to go on a very long trip and you knew that in the middle of the desert that your car would just stop working, you would say that's a horrible trip. But I was a child. I was with my father. It was the best day ever. This is awesome. The situation we're in right now is the car has broken, which is unusual. It's a lot better than riding in the car because now there's things happening. And Dad said, we will walk to the next town and get help. And I was like, I'm all on this plan. This is awesome. We are, now the situation is the car's broke. We're going to walk to the town. Who knows what's going to happen? Before we got to the town, there was a McDonald's. I ordered a, and I remember this because it was an adventure with my father. I ordered a quarter pounder, and check this out. I was so excited. They accidentally gave me a quarter pounder with cheese without even charging for it. I'm like, best day ever. Now, I know my parents weren't thinking this is the best day ever. But when you are with your father and you trust your father, you don't even realize, you're just thinking, I'm on an adventure. This is so cool. And there's so many stories from my childhood when the boat engine quit in the middle of nowhere. But just, all right, what's happening? Yeah, we all have that story. But, you know, when you're in the boat with Jesus, right? And the wind's blowing and Jesus is asleep. Someone wake up Jesus. We're dying over here. But that's where, wouldn't you rather be in the storm with Jesus than on dry land by yourself saying, what am I going to do? Satan brings problems to do one thing for you emotionally and mentally, to cause you to give up hope. And what God does when he breathes in your situation, he breathes in hope. And you've seen this. You see people in identical situations. One is like, woe is me, and the other one like, praise God. You know, most of what God did in the Bible was from prisons and things like that, right? You know, breaking people out of prisons and earthquakes and fire coming down from heaven and God shutting lions' mouths. It was always the spectacular thing because God likes that. Now, Pam in the video was talking about words. Sometimes, I want to say this, because you pray silently, which is fine. God hears your thoughts and he knows your heart. But sometimes there's power in speaking things out loud. Because here's what I want to tell you. Because Pam said your words are very important. The last thing you spoke is the last seed you planted. So if you're saying, I'm not going to make it, I can't do it, I'm a loser, then you've planted some weeds, right? But so sometimes I find myself just out loud, even though it's just me, saying, God, I repent of my sin. I'm not actually praying to God. I actually want Satan to get in on this prayer. I want a record of every angel of who I am and my stand is. I accept God. God is in charge of my life. I reject Satan. I reject his plan for my life. Did you get that, Satan? You're rejected. You're nothing. I want nothing to do with you. Jesus spoke out loud, right? He taught us to do what to the mountain? It wasn't cry about the mountain. It wasn't call your sister up and tell her, describe the mountain. It was speak to the mountain. Address that problem. Jesus spoke to those demons. You, demons, leave now. Pigs, go. He spoke to them. He commanded them. Speak to the mountain. And that's Mark 11:23 and 24. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall believe and shall not doubt. He shall have whatsoever he saith. There's that say word again. Now then, we were talking about, or me and Pam were talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And love that story, love that story. So God was with them in the fire, wasn't he? And here's a little bit of unusual takeaway. Yes, it's important that God be with you in your problem. But it may be more important that God be with you before your problem. Do you know what I'm saying? Daniel laid a foundation of praying every day. So when he finally got thrown in the lion's den, those lions were pillows for his head. Oh, thank you for providing these nice pillows. But he knew how to pray. He didn't find out how to pray. So he prepared for it.
Well, let me tell you my revelation on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Nebuchadnezzar that I never really had caught before. I thought, you know, the little speech that they gave was a touch unnecessary. And I used to, as a child, I would hear that they told the king, "Oh, great king, our God will deliver us. But if he doesn't, let's imagine he's not going to deliver us for just a minute here. We still are not going to serve you, oh, Nebuchadnezzar." And I thought, you know, he probably heated up the furnace even hotter. Excuse me? I mean, was it necessary for him to say, "And by the way, I ain't going to ever serve you no matter what"? He could have just said, "Our God will help us out here." Let me tell you something. That is a notice we need to serve to the enemy. Hey, Nebuchadnezzar, you spirit of Nebuchadnezzar in the fire over there of hell. No matter if God gets me out of this mess or God doesn't get me out of this mess, let me tell you something. This is personal to you, sir. I'm not going to serve you. I'm not going to serve the world. I'm going to keep serving God, even if things get hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter and the water gets higher and higher and higher. I just have one thing to say to you, devil. It ain't going to be you. It's still going to be God. So whatever you do, you know, heat her on up. And I just thought that was so amazing to think about that. And you think, well, maybe I'll never be in the fire. I'm never going to have to be saved out of the fire. Excuse me? Excuse me? That's what salvation is all about, bringing us out of a fire, right? We are going to be saved out of a fire because Jesus went ahead of us. And he did. And I want to tell you something about fires, though, and I thank God for mercy and grace, like Pastor Ken, and even talking about our words and the things that we speak, because we can get in that trap where, like, say Ken calls me and he says, "I have a mountain, and this is my mountain." I go, "Tell me more. Tell me more. Explain about the mountain. How long you had the mountain? How long you think it'll be here? You think we can deal with it? What should we do about the mountain?" And we just start dialoguing all about the mountain, all about the mountain, all about the mountain. And where's the one who creates the mountains and the skies and the seas in our conversation? We need to put him in the conversation. And, you know, sometimes I don't even ask people, like, about situations. Like, I won't go and say, "Hey, how are things?" Because you know what? I don't need to hear that. I don't need to hear that because it affects you, what you hear. What comes in your ear gates, what comes in your eye gates, and what comes out of your mouth affects you. So here's something I want to say about the fire. What about the fire that I set myself? Can God help me put that one out? Will he? That's called grace and mercy. Yes, he will. God will help you put out a fire that you yourself set. Do you know that God will lift you out of a pit that you dug yourself? You got yourself in that situation. You knew it was wrong, but you dug yourself deeper and deeper and deeper. Now you're really in it. Will God get me out? Yes, he will. Oh, we know Joseph was thrown in the pit. That's a no-brainer. God loves Joseph. Your father loves Joseph. He's going to get Joseph out. But what about me? What about us? Our name? Yes, he is. I love that God is the most forgiving friend and the most merciful and kind friend that you and I have ever had. Because I'll tell you something. This world is cruel. And a lot of times you find out people are not who they say they are. And you're disappointed. And you feel betrayed. But you know what? God is who he says he is. And he's kind and forgiving. And these three Hebrew young men, they didn't know how their situation was going to turn out. They had real emotions like you and I. They didn't know it would turn out all good and that it would be a story for history. And you know what? You don't know how your situation's going to turn out. But may I say it's going to turn out well? May I tell you again, you win. May I tell you that God has good things for you? They were falsely accused. You may be falsely accused. They did not deserve the sentence that they were given. But life isn't fair, is it? But guess who is? God is fair. God is just. God is right. And no matter how hot your furnace gets, you're coming out, and you're coming out without even the smell of smoke on you. In fact, I believe that's why we're called to give our testimony, Pastor Ken, is because there's times when people wouldn't, watch this. There's times when I give my testimony when people would have no clue what happened to me at 4 years old. Unless I share my testimony and say, God healed me of that. God healed me of that. I was hurt in a hospital by a doctor, a nurse, who should have loved me and cared for me. And you know what? And it was bad. But you know what? If you give your testimony, then people know that God is the delivering God. God is the healing God. God heals wounds. And, you know, how can you help somebody? But I want to tell you something about life when you're in a trial. Let's talk about Psalm 62 and 6. Truly, truly, he is my rock. And he is my salvation. He didn't save you once. He saves you every day. He is my fortress. He is my fortress every day. And I will not be shaken. I may be shaking. I may be quivering. My voice may shake. I may have tears in my eyes. But my faith is not shaken. I will not be shaken off of this rock that I stand on, the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Psalm 16:8. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. I love the testimony that he gave, that his dad encouraged him. He didn't need the word. His dad overcame the words of the doctor by speaking to him and by being there for him. I keep my eyes on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. I will not be moved off of my position. I refuse to be moved off of the rock.
I like this message because it's so practical and because every one of us face situations that we think are just overwhelming at times. But to go through it with God and with trust, with a childlike trust in God, can change your attitude. A few years ago, I was flying with an attorney friend of mine, and it was flying in my favorite conditions, which is bad conditions. I love that challenge. Anyway, it was nighttime, and we were totally in the clouds at night. So what you see is you might as well be in a cave. But the airplane we were in had the most advanced Garmin GPS systems on the planet. And it had a color, even though I can't see 3 feet in front of the airplane, this TV screen was lit up. And something in red was doing a countdown, 12 minutes. I'm like, 12 minutes to what? And on the TV screen, I saw a red in front of us. It was, so we were at 2,000 feet, and there was this big hill mountain thing at 3,000 feet. And it was counting down until we hit the mountain, right? And, you know, it was calculating our speed and our direction, and it was just saying, in 12 minutes, you die. We did not panic because we were in an airplane. Those that trust in the Lord, those that wait in the Lord, shall mount up with wings as eagles. We were easily able to go above that problem. And there are so many problems that you can go above with the right attitude without worrying and saying, God has got this. God trust. Now, let me tell you something about flying, because that's my passion. The instruments of today, you could show an 8-year-old, this is left, this is right. It's not, I mean, the instruments look complicated, but at the end of the day, it's showing you if you're turning left or right, going up or down. And saying, now all you have to do to this 8-year-old, anyone would understand this. Give me 5 minutes in the cockpit with you, and you'll understand by looking at the instruments whether you're turning left or going up. But the average person that's untrained, if you put them in the clouds, now anyone can do it if you can look out the window, because you can look out the window. But when you can't see, the average person, 45 seconds until they die in the clouds. Because even though they know what the instruments are saying, your ears will lie to you. You cannot trust anything you feel in that airplane. Once you enter the clouds, you have to say to yourself, disconnect what I feel. Because 9 out of 10 times, your body will be lying to you. Your ears will be screaming to you that you are descending and the airplane says you are climbing. That's the training. Not to read the instruments, but to disconnect your feelings and trust the instruments. To say, if the instruments are wrong, I'm dead because I can't see out the window. I can't tell if I'm climbing or turning left or diving. There is no way to tell from my inner ear. But those instruments, the Word of God, what I'm saying is this. Are you going to trust what you feel or what God says? Isn't that a tough thing to do, though? Believe me, it's tough in an airplane. When your body is screaming to you, pull up, and the airplane is saying, don't you do it. You listen to me. You trust what you see on the screen is right. So don't trust your feelings. Don't dwell on the problems. And I'll say this. Every time your mountain speaks to you, speak back. Talk back to that mountain. Satan gets us through a word called compromise. And don't feel bad about yourself because we've all been there. But you are going to feel a little bad. But you say to yourself, I'll never do this. And then you find yourself, you did that. Then you just pushed back who you are. I'll never do this other thing. But I would never do that. And you see this with drug addicts, you know. I would never do cocaine. I would never do crack. And before you know it, they're compromising. But we can do that with holiness in our life. We can do that with sin in our life. But the reason I told you not to feel bad about it is because you are not your past. You're not even who you are right now. You are who you say that you are. You can prophesy over your life, and you can go with God. I've said before that the saddest scripture was when Jesus did cast the demon into the pigs, and the people were so afraid, they said, leave. But to the woman with the issue of blood, that was the best day of her life because she was on the other side of the lake looking for Jesus, and he wasn't there. He was with these people that didn't want him. And when they said leave, he had an appointment with a woman with an issue of blood who was looking for him. Oh, doesn't that thrill your heart? Doesn't it thrill your heart that God is just not a God of power, but that he's a good God? All those stories that I have, those memories of my father, I can think of the Father, that the Father is always there to be. He goes with you. You should laugh. And that's what Brother Hagin's wife said. She said, You don't worry about anything. And because he was just laughing, and he said, the Holy Spirit will cause you to laugh at the most unusual things. The most unusual things. He woke up one morning and his face was paralyzed. That's a mountain. That's a mountain that wasn't there yesterday. Yesterday there was no paralysis. Today your face is paralyzed. That mountain's talking to him. He went into the bathroom and looked at his face, and he said for 45 minutes he stood there and laughed. The Holy Spirit came on him so strong that while he was looking at his paralyzed face, he just was laughing. The Holy Spirit will always lead you to victory. Always lead you to victory. We don't serve a weak God. We serve the God of Moses, the God of Abraham. The man who was called Abraham the Barren. Have you ever heard Father Abraham? He would have been shocked to think anyone would ever call him Father Abraham. He was no father, no kid Abraham, and so was Sarah. Father Abraham. Come on. Our God is a God of miracles.
And that's the message that we have to give people who are desperately. There are some people out there that are counting on us because they are in the fire. And a lot of them have never heard about the God of miracles and that there is hope for them and that God will, you know, I'm going to read a verse, Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze on fire. You know, when I was doing roll call at the 7th District and the 8th District and the 10th and speaking to these officers, this is one of the scriptures I quoted and encouraged them in the area that, you know, you got to picture a whole room full of officers just standing everywhere. And Sandra and I were in the room, and and I quoted the scriptures and began to tell them how my God, the God that I serve, will keep them safe. You know, they are in the fire. They are in the middle of the fire right now, and they need to know several things. And some of these things came to me. One of them, and it's for you too, is that you are loved. And one of the things that I told them is there are more of us who love you than those who hate you. And I think that that's a message that you all need to hear, that there are more who love you than who hate you. And I think that we all need to hear the message of hope. But right now, I feel like on my heart is that God is the God of miracles. Everyone needs to hear that God will keep you safe. The God we serve, He has the ability, He can, and He will, that if we are in covenant with God, that He oversees us, He watches us, He dispatches angels to surround us, that prayer actually works. And of course, you know, some of you heard my testimony the other night on Monday about my daughter Tammy and the gun that was held to her head. You know what? God absolutely will not allow these guns to be discharged against you. But what about other weapons? People coming against you, people on your job, people in your family coming against you. I believe that God will also do a miracle in those situations and cause them, people, not to be able to harm you. I believe that right now as I'm sitting here, I am being protected from spiritual attack and spiritual darts. And I could give you a story from yesterday that would blow your mind, but I believe that God is spiritually protecting me. And the fiery darts of the enemy are only covered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will protect us, the power of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, in our notes, we have this story real quick of Mary and Martha. You know, sometimes when we call upon God and things don't just happen because we snap our fingers like the fast food McDonald's, give it, give it, give it. Sometimes when they don't happen as fast as we think they will, we begin to doubt. You know, they knew Jesus as the healer. They knew Jesus as their friend. And they called for Jesus, and it appeared he delayed, but he purposefully delayed. Let's call it out, Jesus. You did what you did. You purposefully delayed. You made a choice not to go when they called, Jesus. What's that all about? Well, because they had seen Jesus heal. And you know what? They didn't need to see another healing. They needed to know that he's God over death. He's conquered death. And you know what I thought about? Lazarus was the first raising of the dead that they had seen. But Jesus was also raised from the dead. And guess what? Happened before, happened to Jesus, it'll happen in your situation. He can raise your relationship. He can raise your marriage. He can raise up your physical body. You know what? Jesus is never too late. He's, in fact, right on time. And what he did for them was better. What if God's delay in your situation, just let's say it like it is, what if Jesus is purposefully not answering like you want him to right now, restoring that thing? He's doing it on purpose, Jesus, because what he's got for you is greater than what you're asking him for. Sometimes we ask him for small when God's got greater. And that's what he proved in the story of Lazarus. I'm not just going to heal him. No, thank you. I'm going to let him die and raise him from the dead. That's a greater miracle.
So imagine that the children of Israel are in the desert and they're really thirsty. And God wants to show himself powerful. So he doesn't do the miracle again when they want it. He does it in his own timing, and he does it big. And he tells Moses to take the rod, which represents judgment here. It represents a whip. Take that rod, take that whip, and strike a rock, the rock. Who's the rock?
Jesus.
This is the soldiers taking that whip and bringing it down on the back of Jesus. And you see Moses doing it, taking the rod and bringing it on the rock. And the word rock there in the Hebrew means a sharp, jagged rock. It's a picture of the cross. And when you hit Jesus in his back, the blood flowed. And when Moses hit the rock, oh, there's honey in the rock. It flowed. The water flowed. 40 years later, because of their doubt and unbelief, 40 years later, They were back in the same situation. We're out of water again. Moses was mad. God was, I don't know if God was mad. I don't want to say God was mad, but he was exasperated with his people for non-belief. God told Moses, speak to the rock. The word rock doesn't mean a sharp, jagged rock. It now means a smooth rock. This is, and what did Moses do? He grabbed the whip and he struck the rock. And God was like, oh, did you miss it? You just missed what I'm trying to do here. That after salvation, after Jesus is crucified, now we speak to the rock. We speak to the problem. And when we speak to God, there comes, isn't that beautiful? If you ask for bread, he says, I won't give you a snake. I won't give you a rock. I'll give you bread. This is the house of bread, Bethel. Yes. And isn't it amazing that God is not just all-powerful, but that he's a kind God? Doesn't that mean a lot to you that he's kind? Yes. We need to remember the kindness of God. And I know that sometimes when you're going through things, boy, it's hard. But when the pain is the hardest, it also means the blessing is coming. Come on, the Bible says he's close to the brokenhearted. I love that. So when you're brokenhearted, you can say, God's close to me. You may not have evidence of your breakthrough. That might be the holdup. But here's the thing. Just because you don't have evidence of it doesn't mean you can't have confidence in him, in his word. Some people, when God would come with promises, demanded evidence. They demanded proof. How shall it be? What will you do to prove this? Let me put out some fleece and make it wet or make it dry or, you know, give me something. Give me a sign. They're not going to believe me. You got to appreciate Mary who just outshines them all. Be it unto me, even as you said. Just let it be the way you're saying that it's going to be. Do you need evidence from people you trust? No. That's the whole reason we have to have contracts, written contracts, because we don't trust people. A written contract is forcing someone to keep their word and a word of and a law in a court of law. You said it and you wrote it and you signed it. We force you. You do not have a contract with God, I'm sorry to say. Right. You have a covenant with God. Yes. A contract is forcing someone to do something. A covenant is based on love and friendship. And it is written down for your convenience, but it's not a contract. The word covenant literally means to cut where blood flows. It is a covenant based on love. Okay, let me say a few more things here, Pam. I'm just going to. I got the microphone. I'm keeping it. Oh, yeah. Okay, I'll make this my last thing, so give me another 2 minutes. And we sang a song today. Fred, I can still hear you singing it. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future. And life is worth the living. I like that line, Frida. Life is brilliant. Don't be ungrateful and don't miss out on the beauty that's all around you. The other day I was listening to some music, and it was background music, and I thought to myself, I need to not make this background music for just a minute. Let's make it foreground music. Let's inhabit the music. Let's listen to the words of the song. And we sang Reign in Me today. Reign in Me is not background music. It's nice background music. Reign in, yeah, it's nice. But it's a prayer. The words are a prayer. And that song is, it's worship that's directly to God. It's talking to God. It's saying, what does it mean to reign in me? It means his peace reigns in your heart. His love reigns in your heart. It means you're controlled not by your emotions, not by fear, not by worry. That means you're led by the Spirit who always leads you to laugh, who leads you always to victory. I want to be just like you in all that I say and all that I do. See, that's a prayer. That's a prayer to God that has to be prayed from the heart. That's a worship song. To have His peace reigning in you. To have His love reigning in you. And I would say it this way. When peace captivates your heart, then joy can come. Then you can find, come on, have you ever in the middle of a bad situation and you can't even figure it out? You're like, I can't believe I'm laughing about this. I can't believe there's joy in my heart. And I've told this story before, and I've got my last things on it. But, you know, I was in that airplane crossing Texas to Louisiana, and the airplane started to have major, major, major problems. All the electricity is shutting off. And, I mean, this is an emergency situation. And the friend I was with, he's a Christian. And we both started to laugh. In the middle of a dangerous situation, we started to laugh. And within 3 minutes, we were on the ground on a beautiful airport. God just opened up everything for us. We'd landed. There was no incident. The plane was completely dead when I got it on the ground. I mean completely dead. It was no longer an airplane. It was just metal. But we glided to a safe landing, and we were, I believe the Holy Spirit, and I love that sometimes in the worst situations that God, the Holy Spirit will have you laughing. What it is just trusting. You trust someone. If someone says they'll be there, you don't say, I need it in writing. When your dad says it's true, you can rest in that and let peace, let the Holy Spirit reign in you and His heart and His confidence. Love you so much. We have communion, Pam.
Amen. Pastor Ken's going to play for us, and we're going to transition into communion. I wanted to share just a couple quick things. Something that I remember in my heart that I will never forget is the president of Ukraine when he said, I will not run, I will not hide, I will fight, and I will certainly win. And that's us. We're going to win no matter what the situation. I want to tell you a very quick story that I just heard. It's a true story. It's about a mother. And talk about our words, and do we believe what we say we believe? Do we believe in miracles? This is a Christian mom, you can look up the testimony, whose daughter had fallen, she's 6 years old, with a brain injury. And the doctors came in the room and told this mother that she will never eat by herself, she'll never be able to feed herself, she will not walk, she will not have a sound mind of any kind. Her mind is shot because of this brain injury. But this mom was a strong believer, and that's why Pastor Ken said, you got to do it before that thing happens. And the doctors started speaking, and the mother stopped them. And she said, do not ever come in this room and tell me what my daughter can and cannot do. And the doctor said, well, ma'am, I got to give you the truth. I got to tell you. She said, no, thank you. I already have the truth of God's word. You don't have to tell me anything. She said, because I'm speaking just the opposite of what you're saying. And they said, well, we've got to discuss these issues. And you know what she told them? Then you guys go outside the room and discuss them among yourselves. She said, go discuss them outside the door. She said, but not in this room. She said, because I'm going to be speaking over my daughter and our entire churches. Let me tell you who's eating on her own. Let me tell you who can walk just like that guy. Let me tell you, because God is not going to surrender to your words. You can surrender to His word. And this little girl has her sound mind. She knows who everybody is. She can talk because He is the God of miracles. But don't listen to the negative, or it will discourage you and it will get you down to say things are bad, things are not good, everything's falling apart. No, it's not. No, it's not. Everything's coming together because of Jesus like it should. So let's stand as we're going to receive communion as Alan comes forward and he's going to lead us in communion. Because again, this is a self-serve table like Brother John said.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.